You know what instrument this is?
That's a clarinet, isn't it? And it's in E flat. Although in clarinet, that would be in F.
This is B flat.
Oh, well, the whole piece might have been in B flat, but this passage sounds like it's in E flat, which is similar, like it's a related, they call it a related key.
In this piece, you can hear the large range of the single reed instrument and the different tone colours it produces as it passes from one register to another. Three registers of the clarinet can be heard here. Is that what you mean? Different keys or not?
No, it depends like how many flats have been played in the thing, and which, yeah, that's definitely an E flat, but the whole piece is probably in B flat. And the clarinets are in B flat.
The lowest is the Chalumeau register, named after the clarinet's predecessor. It has a deep resonant sound. By putting the thumbs on the speaker key, the player enters the clarinet or clarino register. Its sound was thought to be like that of the clarino trumpet. It's the most used register. The highest and most shrill part of the clarinet's range is referred to as the altissimo or extreme register. So you've got the Chalumeau, you've got the clarinet or clarino, and then you've got the altissimo or extreme. Now this is another clarinet. What key is that? Most solo repertoire is for the B flat clarinet.
Oh, it's a C clarinet, probably.
How did you know that?
Because the piece sounds like it's in C.
Yeah.
But someone said to me before, you know, when I was at school, oh, C clarinets don't sound as nice. And hearing this now, I can see why. It's not quite as mellow a tone, is it? It still sounds like a clarinet, but it just isn't.
Among the 20th century composers most renowned for their treatment of instrumental timbre, Gustav Mahler and Richard Strauss wrote specifically for the C clarinet in a number of their works. Before advanced key system allowed clarinets to play in all keys, they were built in many keys. Each had a characteristic tone colour or timbre.
Oh, a bit like you get whistles in different keys.
What do you think that is? It's the basset horn.
Oh. No,
it's got a great big kink. Basset horn and the alto clarinet cover a similar range, but the historical basset horn has a unique sound because, like the soprano clarinet, it has a narrow ball. It's got a bit like a trumpet at the end.
A narrow what?
Bore. Yeah, the inside bore. Hole, you know, the tube. Brahms described the basset horn as sounding like a cross between a clarinet and a cello. The basset horn's odd shape makes it easier to play the bent body, so that it bends at the right at the top, so
for
like 3 inches or something. Quite thick.
It's a right angle, or
sort of nearly right angle, but a little bit more upwards.
Oh right.
The bent body helps the player reach the finger holes, because otherwise we'd be too far away. Part of its tubing is folded inside the book above the bell.
Oh right.
To keep the instrument from becoming too long. Amazing, isn't it?
Mm.
It's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
The composition is Sonata for Cello, Basse, Baruch. By whom? It's a piano. Oh, by Danzi. Do you know Danzi?
No.
Franz Danzi, Danzi.
Hmm.
Quite sort of, what's the word? Reflective and thoughtful.
Yeah.
Reflective and. Oh.
They've got Irish on the other table.
What's this? Saxophone.
Really?
Soprano saxophone is strongly associated with jazz. Adolf Sax conceived it as a military band and orchestral instrument. Its orchestral potential can be heard in this 1858 quartet written 12 years after the saxophone was patented. This piece is scored for soprano, alto, tenor and bass saxophone. The soprano saxophone generally has the